Our passage reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 2, and you can find that on page 3 in your pew Bibles. Genesis chapter 2, and we'll read the whole chapter. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground, but streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic, resin, and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher, and the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Thus far the reading of God's word.
Thank you. Father, we're here to worship you and honor you. We're here in the name of your Son, and we know that your Spirit is with us. So, Lord, as we've been worshiping and praising you, as we've heard your word now from Genesis 2, we pray that all that we've been doing, all that we've been hearing, that it may soak deep inside of our hearts and souls and minds, to be part of how you're shaping us and forming us to be more and more who you've called us to be, who you've created us to be. And I pray that the words which will be spoken now, may they be your words and not mine. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Trees. The Bible begins with trees and it ends with trees. Summertime is always a time when you kind of think as a pastor, what are you going to preach on? What are you going to focus on? Because people are camping, they're here, they're there, they're everywhere. Very seldom are people here every Sunday in July and August, though I see many of you are, which is really a cool thing as well. So I was sitting in my study and I was thinking, what should I design as a series for the summer? And then I took a walk outside and lo and behold, what's on our street? It's a whole street of trees. As I kind of looked up into the trees, and as I was listening to the birds, and it was actually a sunny day, which was few and far between lately, I thought, boy, it'd be kind of neat to focus on something like creation. And then I thought, creation is so big, maybe let's focus in on trees. And I thought, I wonder if anybody else has done it. Well, then you go to Google, and you Google, and say trees and sermons and books and everything else, Christian books. And lo and behold, there's a whole lot of people who've written on trees before from a Christian and biblical perspective. So what you're getting here is nothing really new this morning. But it's good to slow down and say, okay, let's take a look at God's creation. And trees are amazing. I love the children's message, how there are so many things we get from trees. There's this whole food and shelter, and it builds and makes our lives more comfortable. You're sitting on pews made out of trees, softened by cushions. You came from houses this morning, and if you would have been here 100 years ago, you would have been warmed by wood because the nights are still kind of cool. But many of you go camping and fire pits and campfires, and you roast marshmallows and make s'mores. And there's something wondrous about the smell of wood as well, whether it's burning or if you come up close to a living tree and you come close, you smell, and you can smell the sap and the wonder. And then there's that beauty of trees as well, white spruce. But there's so many varieties of trees that when you walk through different parts of the country, you're amazed by how God said, you know what, it's not good to have just one tree, but it's good to have all kinds of trees. Now, I wish we were in a place where there was more palm trees, but c'est la vie. We'll do well with the white spruce and the pines and other trees as well. But God made them also because it's how God takes care of creation itself. 1 acre of forest absorbs 6 tons of carbon dioxide and puts out 4 tons of oxygen. That's 1 acre of forest. How many acres of forest do we have in Canada? You know, that's something amazing about how God purifies the air, often purifying the air that we kind of mess up through trees, through plants. Trees and shrubs and turf also filter the air by removing dust and absorbing other air pollutants such as carbon monoxide, sulfur dioxide, and nitrogen dioxide. And after trees capture all these unhealthy particles, the rain washes them to the ground. You know, God's providing for our health through the trees and the plants as well. And we've heard already what they give. There's syrup, maple syrup, so wonderful. Bark for canoes and utensils and fruits and nuts for food. And again, like we said, the beauty to enjoy. And when it was all done, God saw all that he had made, and it was good, and it was very good. And that's including those 2 trees at the center of that garden in Eden. The tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. But this is a chapter not just about trees. This is a chapter about relationships. It's about our relationship to the earth and to the creation itself. We are placed in the garden to take care of, nurture, and to help develop and unleash the potential that's within the creation. But did you notice that God said, you know what, that guy is all by himself. And that's not good. That's the first thing that's not good in creation, is that humanity is all by himself. The male is all by himself. And being married, I understand that. Bradley, you will understand that wherever you are. So God says, I'm going to make a partner, a helper for you. And it's amazing how God uses that same word, helper, later on to describe himself in his relationship with us also. So God creates a woman. So man and woman together, created in the image of God, created to have relationship with each other, created to have relationship with God, created to have relationship with the creation itself, to nurture it. And then there's those trees again. Why those trees? Well, because the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a test. It's a test on the strength of the relationship of humanity to God. One tree in the whole world, don't eat from. Boy, it sure looks good. And it's right in the middle. We go by it all the time. And every time we go by it, it looks better and better and better. And it doesn't take a whole lot of persuasion from Satan to get them to eat from that tree. And he uses the relationship with God as the way to tempt them, saying, you know what? Yeah, God's God. God's powerful. But really, do you think God wants what's best for you? Do you really think that God has got your best interests in mind all the time? Don't you want to kind of really be in charge of yourself? And they say, yeah. We discover that our relationship with God is not as important to us as being in charge of our relationships for ourselves, where we set the limits, where we determine the strength and the importance of the relationship. The saddest thing is a breaking of relationship brings fear. It brings hurt. It brings death into creation. And that's what happens when relationship is broken. There's brokenness that enters into our lives. When we confessed our sin, really what we're confessing is that relationships are broken and we played a part in that. And how do we bring them back together again? And the only way we can bring those relationships back together again is through the healing that comes from Jesus, who went onto a different tree and took all our sins on that, on himself, and on that tree became a curse so that we can be blessed by God. But the thing is that the tree is called the knowledge of good and evil. And as I was thinking and as I was reading and studying it, it struck me that it almost sounds like knowledge is bad. Knowledge of good and evil. God wants us to have knowledge of good. He wants us to know and trust him that evil is not good or healthy for us or for our relationships. But see, for knowledge, when we talk about knowledge, we talk about our head stuff. But for the Jewish people, when they hear the word knowledge, they hear something that's experienced. So it's the kind of knowledge that you get when you're teaching your children not to touch a hot stove. So how many of you have tried to teach little kids, don't touch a hot stove? How many of the kids touch the hot stove anyway? Because you say, yeah, mom and dad aren't going to lie to us, but I want to really know it. And you know it by touching it. And unfortunately, when you touch it, it hurts. And sometimes if it's still hot enough, you actually need to find some healing from mom and dad who told you not to touch the hot stove. Well, it's the same thing with the knowledge of good and evil. They were experiencing good by being in the presence of God, by walking with him in the cool of the evening. But knowledge was just a concept up here. So it wasn't really real. A lot of times our knowledge, unless we experience it, it doesn't feel real. But the problem is some experiences hurt us more than they bless us. You can heal a hand. But if you're in a relationship with your spouse and all of a sudden you get bored, or over time you get bored, or it's not exciting, or maybe you've been hurt too often in that relationship, and you decide that you want to break that relationship. As a pastor, I can tell you, it's not worth it. And this not only comes from me as a pastor, having worked with many, many people who have broken relationship with others. It comes from secular universities like Yale, University of California, Southern California, universities here in Canada, University of Toronto and McGill, that people who break relationships like marriage, 5 years down the road, are not any happier or any more content than they are in the relationship that they're in right now. But those couples who say, okay, we are going to work on this, they are much happier. And there's a percentage, and unfortunately I forget the percentage, but the percentage is unbelievably higher of those who find happiness, who find contentment, who find healing by working on the relationship. See, God works on our relationship with us. That's why he sent Jesus after we broke relationship. And he uses trees. And he uses trees throughout all of Scripture to represent relationship with us. Because right beside that tree of the knowledge of good and evil is the tree of life. And God says, when they eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, why are they kicked out of the garden? And they don't eat from the tree of life. Because the punishment for eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil is death. Represents a brokenness between us and God. If they would have eaten from the tree of life, which they had permission to do so, but it wasn't as good as the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they would not have died. And experience tells us that when we cannot pay for something, it just gets worse and worse. Criminals who steal something and don't have to pay for it, don't pay the consequences, they will get further and further into a life of crime, usually. So for us, if Adam and Eve could not pay for that sin that they had done, that brokenness in relationship, they would have just continued to drift further and further and further away from God. And humanity would have gone with them, because we also then would not have been able to die. And Jesus would not have been able to die on that tree, on that cross for us, so that we could have new life, so that we could be restored in relationship with God again. And that's why Jesus calls himself, I'm the vine, I'm the tree. You know what? I am planted so deeply into the Father and the Spirit and myself, and life comes from me, and if you keep connected to me, you'll get life as well. You'll understand what life is. You see, life is more than just breathing and existing. Jesus says, I can give you a life. I can give you life in me. Life where you can become more and more who God has created you, who the Father has created you to be. You can experience forgiveness, you can experience mercy, you can experience a foundation that's based not on things that keep shifting under you because the society around you keeps shifting. somebody asked me the other day, you know, there's lots of good people out there. Why do you need the church? Why do you need God? You know what? We can figure out what's good and wrong. And I said, really? I says, look at 100 years ago at what was considered right and wrong, and look at what's considered right and wrong now. Are they the same? And why aren't they the same? Because we figure out what's right and wrong, but when we figure it out, that means somebody later on, when we're no longer in charge, is going to say, oh yeah, that was good for you. But you know what? This is really what's right and wrong now. So how do you build a life? How do you prepare your children if right and wrong, if good and evil keeps shifting on you? And Jesus says, you know what? I can give you a foundation. I can give you a foundation in life that will stretch through time, that you can pass on to your children, that you can pass on to your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, because it's rooted in me. It's not rooted in people who keep shifting and changing. I can give you roots that go down deep, because that's where my roots go down. And you get life from me. But there's also, you can graft. You can graft new branches on. And branches that may have, because they had got pruned away, may have be withered and everything else. Working for a landscaper, he showed me how you could take a tree that you were convinced was dead, but you could tell that there was still some life left in it, just a little bit, and how you can graft it into a healthy tree and how it can begin to grow and have new life again. And he said, you know what? For me, that's a symbol of who Jesus is. You know, we've kind of pruned ourselves away from Jesus, from God. But God doesn't give up on us. And if you are weak and burdened and life is tough and rough and you wonder where you can find strength and wholeness and health again, Jesus says, come to me. And you know what? Graft you into me and you'll find health. You'll find wholeness. You'll find that you are loved deeply. And I will pour my life into you. So the tree of knowledge and good and evil, you hear about it in Genesis 2 and Genesis 3, and you never hear about it again. But the tree of life, you hear about it in Genesis 2, you hear about it in the Psalms, you hear about it in Jesus calling himself the true vine, and you hear about it again at the end of the Bible. The tree, leaves of the trees planted along the river of life are for the healing of the nations. So if you're looking for healing, if you're looking for wholeness, you know, turn to that tree of life. You already have experienced the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but now the invitation is for you to experience here the tree of life, to experience Jesus. He says, come, and I will give you life. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you that the story doesn't end with eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That it doesn't end with that experience of what evil is. That knowledge that's not just head knowledge, but that's also heart knowledge. That the tree of life continues to flow through the scripture. And how your son came. I said, come, follow me, and I'll give you life. So, Lord, for anyone who is here this morning who is searching for life, who is searching for healing, Lord, I pray that your Spirit will work deep in them to draw them close, to graft them into your Son. And Lord, for those of us who are grafted in and experiencing your life, Lord, may that inspire us even more to share this with those in our lives and those in this community. That this may be a community that is fed by your Son, that is nourished and is growing in your Son. We pray this in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen.